Open up to Matthew chapter 4, Gospel of Matthew. I think that's where we're going to begin. I've been looking at some things regarding redemption. And God's heart behind redemption. And it's certainly more than what we can handle tonight, to say the least. But when you understand God's word, you begin to get an understanding of it. You begin to understand that, you know, man is not lost. Man is not in the situation that he's in because of what he does. He's in the situation that he's in. He's lost because of who he is. And there's a tremendous difference. Societies, religion, can legislate all they want. At best, sin will be done in the dark, in hiding, at best. Because it is who man is. And that's what the Word of God addresses. And what God has lovingly done is provided a way where man is no longer body and soul, no longer lost, no longer dead, all of which we're going to look at here in a few minutes. But he's a new creation in Christ. And is given life. Man without spirit is simply body and soul. What gives man life is breath. That's called breath life. That's soul. You know, a lot of people get soul mixed up with spirit. The word's pretty clear on it. Soul is that life which is just simply passed on from one generation to the next. When a man takes his last breath, he's called a dead soul. He's dead. Right?
Right.
We know from God's word in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is what? God is spirit. God is spirit. And God being spirit is the author of life. That's something. He's the author of life. And that life that God gives when any man or woman calls on the name of Jesus Christ is true life. It's spirit. It has taken me years and years and years and years to begin to see God's word and begin to take the emphasis off of this soul life and begin to put it on what the real life is, which is spirit. This life at best is temporary. However good it is or however bad it is a short time. There's not much difference between 20 years and 80 years, really. I know that from our perspective, right, sitting here right now, there appears to be. But there's really not. See? It's all just a vapor. In comparison to the life that we really have and will enjoy for all eternity. And that's redemption. That's redemption. In Matthew chapter 4, 19 is where I just want to read it. That body and soul man is dead, the word says. He's spiritually dead. Well, maybe it's not 4:19. Oh, here it is. 16, I'm sorry. Matthew 4, verse 16. This is speaking regarding Jesus Christ. You know, this is a neat record. Let's go back a couple of verses. I wasn't going to mention this, but... And leaving Nazareth, in verse 13, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Okay? These are two of the tribes of Israel. Now this is neat. This is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now I want to mention something before we read the next verse. These two tribes were the first to be led captive. And that's when this was prophesied. They were the first to be led captive way back. And they were the first to see Jesus Christ. The next verse. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of what?
Death.
Light is sprung up. See? That was regarding Jesus Christ. They sat in darkness. They sat in the shadow of death. That's where man sits. That's where body and soul man sits. In the shadow of death and in darkness. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. This is also a great section, but I'm going to stay focused here. Romans chapter 3. And I wanted to read verse 9. Verse 9 says, what then? Are we better than they? Referring to the Judeans. No. In no wise. No way. For we have before proved that both Jews, Judeans, and Gentiles, that they are all under what?
Sin.
They're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All men are born dead in sin. We'll read that in a minute. Neither education nor culture is going to lift a man out of what he is. There's only one thing, and man's only hope is to be born again. That's his only hope. There's nothing else. There's nothing else available. You know, the Word of God says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved. It's Jesus Christ. Christianity, and this is a deceit, Christianity is not one of the great religions. As a matter of fact, Christianity is not even a religion. Christianity is the way of a father with his children. Christianity is what God has made available through his Son, Jesus Christ, in sacrificing him on the behalf of all mankind. That's what Christianity is. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Again, a great section. So much in here. Oh, goodness. But I want to read verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man's sin, and it should read, and in the Greek, the article is there. And that's how I'm going to read this. Because without that article, you know, this is misunderstood to mean simply the actions, your actions. The article, the sin, is there, and it should read, wherefore, as by one man, the sin, entered into the world, and the death by the sin, is how it should read. And so, the death passed upon all men. And then in the Greek it reads, by which all have sinned. The death. By which all have sinned. When Adam transgressed, when he rebelled against God, that is the sin. It's referring to Adam's transgression. By one man, the sin what? Right. And by the sin, what then entered? The death. That was the loss of spirit. God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, the day, toyom, the day, thou shalt surely what?
Die.
Right. What died? Spirit. Spirit died. See, this isn't understood. And what is commonly taught is that the seeds of death were planted. That's not what God said. God said, the day that thou eatest, thou shalt what? That's right. And what is the life that Jesus Christ came to bring? Spirit. What was given on the day of Pentecost? Spirit. That's the life of God. That's who God is. That's what enabled Adam to have dominion over all of God's creation. He was second in command of God. And when he rebelled and lost spirit, he handed everything over to the adversary, to the devil. And the devil is called the god of this world. And body and soul man stands no chance whatever against the devil, against his wiles, against his methods. None whatever. He is senses man. He can't see it. He doesn't get it. He doesn't know what's behind it. Ephesians says we fight not against what? Right. But against... Right, spiritual wickedness from on high. It looks like it's this guy. It looks like it's this politician. It looks like it's this country. It looks like it's this or that. But what's behind it? The god of this world. And the reason why he's been so successful is because he has hid himself. And people don't believe in the devil. They blame everything on God. Who is a murderer? God or the devil? Right. And yet they accuse God of it. Who starves people? Who causes famine? Who causes storms? Who kills people? Who brings disease? Who causes it? The devil, not the true God. Who tempts? The devil, not the true God. Do you see why senses man doesn't stand a chance? His only hope is to be born again. This is what I hear when I share the word with somebody and they say to me, oh, you're a born-again Christian? You know what I hear? Oh, I know nothing about God's word? That's all I hear. How could you be a Christian and not be born again? I'm going to show it to you from the word. How is that possible? If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. Right?
Right.
I always get a kick out of that. Oh, you're a born-again Christian. Like, you know, it's a religion. You see, but see, that's what the adversary has done. And senses man doesn't stand a chance against this stuff. Not without spirit. Not without spirit. See, that's spirit from God. Isn't that something? That's what turns a man from light, from darkness to light. That's what turns a man from death to life. See? And we're going to see in God's word that old man is dead. That's what God says. It's dead. Because you are a new creation. You're not the same person. Once you have confessed Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you are a new creation and you have spirit. You may ignore it. You may never learn God's word. You may not believe it, but you are. And God does work in you. You may ignore it, but God still works in you because you have spirit. You have his spirit. Isn't that something? And whether or not you rise up to believe, whether or not you ever walk with the true God, whether or not you ever enjoy what God has in store for you as a kid, when Jesus Christ comes back, you're going to be gathered together. Because it's not what man does, it's what man is. And when you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, you is no longer. You is a new creation. See, and we'll read this from God's Word. And we'll read it with better English. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 1. If you have a King James Version of the Bible, you have some italicized words here, which means they were added. That's why I enjoy having the King James Version, because they tell you when they added these words. Sometimes they supply it correctly, other times not so much. In verse 1, I'm just going to read it without the italics. And it reads, "And you," okay, literally it's "even you," "even you who were dead in trespasses and" what? "Sins." You're dead. How did that death happen? Adam. What kind of death?
Spiritual death.
"Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's his dominion. This is speaking of the chief prince, the adversary, the devil, "the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." When you work this children of disobedience in God's word, it simply means those who have rejected Jesus Christ. That's what it means. They have disobeyed. They have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, God refers to them as children of disobedience, among whom we were too, before we believed on Jesus Christ. In Peter, we're called children of obedience because we believe in Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat? So, those children of disobedience are those body and soul men. They don't have the Spirit of God. See? They have either not accepted or they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, verse 3, "among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh," or the desires of the flesh, because there was nothing else. There was nothing else. What else was there to satisfy? Flesh was it. That's who we were. Your body and soul. You don't have spirit. Right? So all you can do is satisfy those cravings, whatever those cravings are. "Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of" what? "Of wrath, even as others." See? We were the children of wrath. And this is referring to the wrath to come. The justice of God demands that there be wrath. The justice of God demands that those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ pay a price for that. Because it would be an injustice to the Lord Jesus Christ himself to have it otherwise. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price, was beaten more than any man, it says in Isaiah. He was unrecognizable as a man when he died. And he died spiritually and he died physically. He died a natural man. If physical death would have won man's redemption, then all of us could pay that. Right? But it required Jesus Christ. It required Jesus Christ paying the ultimate sacrifice. And for justice to be carried out, God has to be just to the Lord Jesus Christ. See? That's why you and I are righteous. That's why you and I are holy. Because we've called on the name of Jesus Christ. And in order for God to be just to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has to fulfill that which he promised he would if Jesus Christ would follow through on what he asked him to do. Isn't that something? So those who teach us salvation can be lost because of one of your actions. That is a great injustice to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a disgrace to the true God. And it's the words that come from darkness, from the adversary, to belittle the work that Jesus Christ did. It's not being complete enough. And it was. If Jesus Christ's work wasn't complete, then you and I could undo it. But you and I can't undo it. Do you understand? This was something that God accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. So stop getting tossed around. Stop doubting what it is God's made you because of what Jesus Christ did. Stop doubting your place in the eyes of God. Because that redemption was thought of all the way back in Genesis 3, and God carried it out in the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't belittle it. Okay, I won't stop now. I want you to keep your finger here because we're going to come back. We're going to do a little parenthesis. And I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, I'll tell you, I know I'm sounding a little intense, and I don't mean to sound angry. I'm not. I'm really blessed. You ought to see me when I'm in. But you know what it is? It's just the Word of God is so incredible. It's so clear. It's so clear. See? And it gets muddied up. It just gets muddied up because the adversary, the devil, is so good at what he does. And he couches things. It looks so good. It feels so good. But these things have nothing to do with feelings. And they have everything to do with what God did in Christ. And it has everything to do with believing. There are days where maybe you just don't feel like a son of God. You just don't feel real righteous. But you are. And so many Christians today are taught to go on feelings. And if they go on feelings, then one day they're righteous, the next day they're crap. Right? It's horrible. It's based on truth, not feelings. Feelings come and go. Truth is truth. Period. Then what God says is truth. And what did I say? 2 Peter? 2 Peter 1:4. Well, let's read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. You know what that word begotten is? First Peter. I'm sorry, 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Oh, you know what? Keep your finger in 1 Peter. So that's two fingers. I did want to read 2 Peter. I want to show you this too before I read this. 2 Peter. Let's start in verse 3. Chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 3 in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. And we're going to start in verse 3 of chapter 1 and 2.
Okay, here we go. Verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who hath called us, and it should read, by his glory and virtue. Whereby, okay, first of all, where do we get the knowledge of God? Nature. No, we get it from God's word. Right?
Yes.
This is God's word. Whereby? Whereby what? God's word. Are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these exceeding great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the what? The divine nature. Isn't that something? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or fleshly cravings. What is God's nature? Spirit. Isn't that something? Those great and precious promises. Well, one real simple promise is that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, you're what?
Saved.
By exceeding great and precious promises. You want to read another one? Now we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That word begotten is the word born. He borned us again. He's begotten us again unto a lively, it should read living. A living what? Hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who are kept? You. Who are kept or guarded by the what? Power of God. See? Through believing unto a salvation or a deliverance ready to be revealed in the last time. We were born again. We were born again unto a living hope. That's our end. That's our hope. The return of Jesus Christ. The new birth is not about this life. The new birth is about the life to come, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, about eternal life, about having a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. This is going to... Hi, darling. I love you. I know. That's so cool. I want you to go down toward the end of this chapter. Verse 23. Oh, let's start in verse 21. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your believing and hope might be in who? God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit is not in any critical Greek text. So it simply reads, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born what? Again. Well, you just can't get away from that born again. Born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of what? Soul life is seed. Your first life is seed. Right? Absolutely. But it's corruptible seed. From the moment you're born, it begins to corrupt. It's called aging. But that Spirit of God is what? Incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. And that's something. By the what? The Word of God, which lives and abides for how long?
Forever.
Go to 2 Corinthians. We're not going to get through all these scriptures. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all what?
Dead.
And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and what? Rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. It's a figure of speech, and you automatically supply after the flesh. We know him no more. How? After the flesh. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. He is the firstborn of a new creation. And the day will come when you and I will have bodies fashioned like unto his glorious body. We know him no more after the flesh. He's head of the body. He is head of the church. That in him might all things have preeminence. Isn't that something? Then it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what?
Creature.
It's the word for creation. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, and it should read, the new is come. See? And that was that spirit that God made available that came on the day of Pentecost. That's the life that Jesus Christ came to bring. Remember what he said to Nicodemus? Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Enter a second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus Christ's response to him was, you're a teacher of the law, and you don't know these things? This is what it was all about. And then he begins to teach him about the Spirit of God. That's what it was all about. That's what Jesus Christ came to bring. And that man that confesses Jesus as Lord, he's a new creation. You're not the same anymore because you have Spirit, God's Spirit inside of you. That's right. And all things are of God. All what things? What's the context? Context is King. All new things. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled unto God by the work of Jesus Christ and because of the Spirit of God that was given. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1. We're almost done. I went a little longer than I had planned, but isn't this great stuff to look at, though, just to understand? The word is so clear. Colossians chapter 1. Context is talking regarding the mystery which is revealed. But in verse 27, which is the one I get to, it says, To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of what?
Glory.
We just read about that glory to come, that hope in 1 Peter. It's Christ in you. That Spirit of God is called a lot of things. It's called the Spirit of God. It's called the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. It's Christ in you. See? Jesus Christ said in John 14 regarding that Spirit that would come, he said, the works that I have done shall you do also, and what?
Greater
works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. See, and the context of that was, he was teaching his men about the Comforter to come. And then he explained what that Comforter was. Spirit. Holy Spirit. See? Which he would send. He said, I will send it in my Father's name. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? He sent it. He sent it. Isn't that something? Let's go to Romans 8, and then we're going to close in 1 John. Romans 8, I want to read one more section in light of this redemption that's ours. Romans 8, we're going to begin in verse 5. In verse 5 it says, "For they that are after or according to the flesh do mind or think the things of the what? Of the flesh." Now stay with me here. "But they that are after the Spirit or according to the Spirit, the things of the what? The Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. To be spiritually minded is life and what? Peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, a separation against God. For it is not subject to the law of God." Now this law of God refers back to Romans chapter 7. And it was talking about spirit. Now we're going to see something in a moment here. That carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. That law of spirit. That which has come. It's not talking about the Mosaic. Then it says, "Neither indeed can be." It can't be. That carnal mind cannot be. "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot," what? They can't please God. If you're in the flesh, you can't please God. Then it says, "But you are what?" Boom. You are not in the flesh, but in the what?
Spirit.
If the Spirit of God, what? So what are we talking about? We're talking about those who are not born again versus those who are born again. And you, ladies and gentlemen, are born again. You are not in the flesh. Carnal mind is the mind of one who does not have spirit. You don't fall in that category. You may get your head up where the sun doesn't shine sometimes, but you're still in the spirit from God's perspective. Because you have called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That carnal mind is the mind of a body and soul mind. That mind of the flesh is the mind of a body and soul man. And that body and soul man cannot please God. Why? Because God is what?
Spirit.
Right. It's that simple. And the man that doesn't have spirit is dead. And he has not called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Let's close in 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God," and the text reads, "that we should be called the sons of God, and we are. Therefore, the world," what? It doesn't know us. Because it what? It knew him not. It didn't know Jesus Christ. It didn't get Jesus Christ. It killed Jesus Christ. It hated Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Because the world is run by the God of this world. And it hates the true God. It hates the things of the true God. It hates the believers. It hates men and women that call on the name of Jesus Christ. And it hates men and women that walk with the true God. It hates men and women that confess the Word of God. So what? You're in good company. Right? Jesus Christ taught his men that. He said, the world's going to hate you, but know this, it hated me before it hated you. Right? So, isn't that something? Now, the next verse. This is great. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." When?
Now.
Now. This isn't a future reality. This is right now. Then it says, "Therefore." Oh, I'm sorry. I needed to put my glasses on. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear." It hasn't been revealed yet what we shall be. "But we know this," we know that, "when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him," what? "As he is." Then it says, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is what?
Pure. Yeah. And that word pure,
it means unmixed. Unmixed. What it is that hope, that looking forward to the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, that looking forward to his return, that looking forward to our being gathered together in Jesus Christ, it causes a man to become less and less mixed with this world, because the things of this world mean less and less. The things that are so important to the body and soul man become so of less importance because of what we know life really is about and what the end game really is. The end game is a lot more than you being blessed right now, you being happy right now, you being whatever right now. And God desires those things for his kids. But the end game is a lot more than that. It's a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. It's dwelling forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God himself dwelling with men. Isn't that something? And the more we look at that, the more we think that, the more we live our lives in light of that, the more that we order our lives in light of that hope, the less this world mixes in. See? He who has this hope in him purifies himself. Isn't that wonderful? So that's a little bit about redemption, what God's called us to. And the price has been paid for us and who we are because of what Jesus Christ did. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to eat. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what Jesus Christ has accomplished, for the rights, the privileges, and abilities that are ours. For how awesome it is to know these things and to have that great hope to look forward to, Father. I thank you for these things in his name, that name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 That's right.